I want to welcome those of you who are in our Refuge worship service, and if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I'd like to give a greeting also on behalf of our church to those of you who are watching on Wartburg Watch. A couple of you sent testimonies in this week that we have printed in our church bulletin, and we rejoice in what God is doing in your lives. This morning, we're going to look at two verses of Scripture as we talk about what the Bible calls the fatherland. You know, when bad things happen to you, it's sometimes difficult to see the positive side of those bad things. I was visiting with LaDonna about her daughter Tammy being diagnosed with breast cancer and the battle that Tammy is having fighting that cancer through chemo. It's not easy. I was visiting with the Websters earlier, and their little 2-year-old grandson's been diagnosed with leukemia. Some of you are here this morning and you are struggling in your business. There's not much money flowing in. Others of you are having difficulties in your marriage. It's sometimes very difficult to see any positive side to struggles in this life. But there are some things that you should rejoice for when difficult times come. And this morning we're going to look at one of those things. One of the dangers of prosperity in our lives and in our country is that we get far too comfortable with this world. And when difficult things shake us up, it is sometimes good because it causes us to realize that we are strangers and exiles in this land we call America. Now, there are actual exiles today from Syria, 250,000 people who are trying to find a home. They're sleeping in tents. They have no running water. They share public restrooms. The UN is providing rice. These exiles from Syria, they know what it means to be an exile in this world. You and I, as Americans, it's hard for us to fathom that. For those of us who go home and we sleep in a comfortable bed, we get up, we turn on the water, we take a shower, we have food on the table, money in the bank, we have plans for retirement. All we're concerned about is vacation and where we're going to go on our next vacation. And it's very difficult for us to consider ourselves strangers in this life. But this morning, I want to show you from our text that you and I, those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are strangers and exiles in this world. And when you begin to understand that and confess it, it'll change everything about your life. You say, well, now wait a minute. If I am a stranger and an exile in this life, then where is my home? Well, as we saw last Sunday, our eternal home is what the Bible calls the fatherland. In fact, in Hebrews 11 and verse 14, the word that is translated country is the word fatherland. It comes from the Greek word pater. In Italian and in Spanish, it is the word padre. It's padrita. And the Bible says that the people of Hebrews chapter 11, the people of faith, when they left Chaldea, they didn't go back to their land, to the place where they came from, because they had a fatherland on their mind, a country, a city that God was building for them. Verse 13 of Hebrews 11. Now this morning, I'm going to show you that you and I are headed to the same place. We are going to the fatherland. And when you begin to understand that, you can confess to others that you are a stranger and an exile in this world. Let's look at it, beginning with verse 15 of Hebrews 11. And indeed, if they, that is the people of Hebrews 11, had been thinking of where they had come from, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, They desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. Now let's take a look at these two verses, and I want you to see two or three things. First of all, strangers and pilgrims in this life think about the fatherland. It's found there in verse 15 of our text. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they had come out of, that is Chaldea, they would have had opportunity to return. And the implication of this verse is the reason they didn't go back is because they were thinking of the fatherland. Let me propose to you this morning that as you look at your life and you consider where you work, and you consider the things that you do, and you look around and you see what people think of you, your reputation, and the legacy that you are leaving for your children and your grandchildren, as you look around at your life this morning, let me propose to you that the greatest loyalty you and I should have is for the fatherland, not this life. It's interesting that in the word fatherland, that is the place that God is building for us, the city which has foundations, the place the writer of Hebrews is referring to on many occasions in Hebrews 11, the fatherland, the patria. This word is the root word for our English word, patriotism. Your greatest loyalty in this life should be to the fatherland. Now, there's a great movie that has come out. Several of you have mentioned to me that you went to see it this week, called Last Ounce of Courage. And you cannot sit and watch that movie and not be moved. You cannot sit and observe what you see on the big screen and not feel grateful for being an American. It's that kind of movie. But let me caution you. Your greatest loyalty in this life is not to this country. Your greatest loyalty in this life is not to anything in this world. You're going to leave it all behind. But more importantly, the truth is this country could change on a dime. We could cease being a republic that respects laws. We could cease being the society where there is freedom, and overnight we could become a totalitarian state with martial law in place, and it could be against the law to be a Christian. You say that could never happen in America. You don't know that. Your greatest loyalty in this life is not to a country. Now, there's nothing wrong with being patriotic to the United States. Nothing wrong with that at all. I'm probably the greatest patriot you'll ever meet. I love our military. I love everything about the United States. But we all must be careful that we do not lose sight of the fact that if our hearts are bound to this country and our greatest loyalty is to America, we have lost sight of the fatherland. The writer of Hebrews goes on, and he says, one of the reasons that your greatest loyalty should be to the fatherland is because the greatest love you will experience in this life is from the Father. Think about this. There's a reason it's called the fatherland. There's a reason why He is building for you a city with foundations. It's because nobody loves you the way God loves you. He sent you His Son. He paid the price for your sins. He has given to you all the great gifts You are His. He has adopted you into His family. You are part, because of your faith in Christ, of the land that the Father is building. C.S. Lewis understood this. This is why his great trilogy, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, points people to the fact that there's a place where the king, where Aslan the lion is in charge. There's a place that he is building for his followers. And as you make your journey as a pilgrim, as a stranger, as an exile in this life, you should keep your eye on the fatherland. The greatest love that you'll ever experience is not the love of a husband or a wife. Though if you ever have a marriage where that love just overflows in the heart of your spouse for you, it's the greatest thing you've ever experienced, granted. But the greatest love that you'll ever have is not the love of any human being. It's the love of your Father. That's why your eye should be on the fatherland. Not anything else in this life. By the way, this is why if you ever really want to know what to pray for your children about, if you ever want to know what the greatest prayer you could ever pray for any significant person in your life, listen to the prayer that Paul prayed for the people he loved in Ephesus. He says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, that you will be rooted and grounded in love, and that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of God, and that you may know the love of Christ, which is unknowable, that you may be filled up with all the fullness of God." When you begin to grasp the love of the Father, and when you begin to understand that the greatest love you will ever experience in life is the love that comes from God, and He is building for you a city which has foundations, He is going to give you a land, the earth where the curse has been reversed, where Jesus reigns as King, and the meek inherit the earth. When you begin to understand that the fatherland that is coming, the land of your padre, the land of your patir, the land of your father is yours, then you stop putting stock in this life. I was watching television this week and I saw Jim McMahon. Do you ever remember watching him play football, Brigham Young? Set all kinds of college records. Then he played football for the Chicago Bears, was in the Super Bowl with the Fridge, the big lineman who scored the touchdown. Yeah, you know, it was a big deal because no lineman had ever scored a touchdown in a football game. Television show was of Jim McMahon and his wife. She's concerned for her husband. She feels she's losing him because of his concussions and because of trauma to his brain. He's losing his memory. By the way, this is not just Jim McMahon. This is happening to hundreds, if not a thousand or more, former professional football players who have filed a class action lawsuit against the NFL. Today, when we get out of church, many of us will watch football games. The Dallas Cowboys will be playing Seattle, and your favorite team will be playing another team, and we'll be cheering for our favorite teams and those guys who pass for touchdowns and who catch footballs, who are the stars, will be praised and honored. And there'll be young men all over the United States who'll say, "Oh, I wish I could be like that." All of them are going to lose it. It's going to be gone. One day they'll lose their money. One day they'll lose their life. For some of them, even the rest of their life will be filled with pain. My point to you is, young people, listen to me. The world will put up for you as models people that you should emulate. Those who make a lot of money. Those who are great models. Those who are great athletes. The world will put up for you rock stars and others who have all kinds of worldly possessions, and they'll say, be like them. No, don't you even dare go there. Your greatest loyalty should be to the fatherland, because the greatest love, the greatest honor, the greatest praise, the greatest glory you will ever receive, as I'll show you next week, is to be adopted into the Father's family and be given an eternal home, an eternal land, where you live life the way it was meant to be lived, without disease or aging, without dysfunction or sin, to live eternally with Jesus as your King and people you love as your best friends. The greatest loyalty you have is to the fatherland. And businessmen, don't you ever forget that. Second, those who think of the fatherland give evidence that they have a father. Now, this is not me saying this. This is the text. Look at verse 16. The writer of Hebrews is saying, all these people I've been describing for you who left Chaldea and came to Canaan, they didn't receive Canaan as an inheritance, even though God had promised it to the Hebrews. They died without seeing the fulfillment of those promises. But that was all right, because Abraham had his eye on the fatherland. Abraham and Sarah had their eye on the country that was their father's, the city that God was building for them. Therefore, verse 16 says, because they desired this, the fatherland, God was not ashamed to be called their father. For he had prepared for them a city. Now the word therefore there might confuse you. You might think that God responds to your thinking of the eternal by becoming your father. But in actuality, it's just the reverse. It's because he has become your father, you think of the Padre land. It's because of what he has done in your life. It is because he has opened your eyes to a sense of the eternal, you think of the Father. And it's for this reason Jesus is not ashamed of you. By the way, if you look at the original Greek here in this text, where it says, for this reason, therefore, God is not ashamed, there's a little pronoun, he's not ashamed of them. In other words, the evidence that you have a father is that you are thinking of him. I wrote an article on my blog this week about a rapper. He goes by two different names when he sings. I can't even pronounce the names. Some of the younger kids might know who he is, but this week he died. And he didn't die in any customary or usual way that people died. He was driving, drunk, over 100 miles an hour, and he was texting. He had three people in his car with him. And he was texting with his thumb while he was driving. And in essence, he texted a couple of very graphic sexual curse words. And he said, I'm driving over 100 miles an hour, drunk and texting. And I'm drifting around curves. But who the blank cares? And then he signed off with this little four-letter word that had become popular in the Twitter world. YOLO. YOLO. YOLO stands for you only live once. It has become the mantra. It has become, if you will, the philosophy of people in this world who say, look, do what you want, as you want, when you want, as long as you want, because you only live once. Doesn't make any difference if it's dangerous. Feel the thrill. You only live once. YOLO. Within 30 seconds after tweeting that message, this young rapper ran a red light, hit a brick wall, killed himself and all three of his passengers. The police said speed and alcohol were involved. Those four bodies were mangled. They all died. YOLO, you only live once. But it's a guarantee that if you live by that philosophy, you will die twice. You die not only physically, as this rapper did, but you will die what the Bible calls a second death. When you stand before the King and you give an account for your life, the Scripture states that you will be cast from His presence into a lake of eternal fire, which is the second death. I would propose to you that this world has no concept of the fatherland. And if you do, it's evidence that you have a father. I close by showing you this. There are some necessary things to enter the fatherland. There are some things that are required for you to enter the land that your father is building for his kids. At the time of your death, and again, even if you've been told by a doctor you're going to die, as we said last week, if you understand that there is life eternal and that you're going to the Father's land, you're a stranger and an exile. And sure, you don't want to leave your loved ones behind, but the truth is, you're okay. There are some things required for entrance. And I think the best way to illustrate what is required is to just think about what is required for you to leave the United States and go to another country. Three things. Number one, you've got to have a birth certificate. You've got to prove you've been born. Now, I know that sometimes birth certificates can be forged, but I can guarantee you the father understands forgeries. You know what the birth certificate is? It's evidence of life. Listen, if you have a spiritual appetite, if you have a longing to know God, if you have a longing for the Word of God, that's evidence. That's evidence that you've been born again. Nobody enters the fatherland without this spiritual appetite. The vast majority of you who are here this morning, you have that. But some of you have been struggling. You come to church and you see your appetite is just beginning. It's growing. You've never come to faith in Christ. Let me encourage you. When you give your heart to Christ and you receive Him as your Lord and your Savior, you will find your appetite for the things of the Father will only grow. Second, you must have a visa from the king of the country receiving you. You can't just enter in unless the king grants it. Well, I'm reminded that Jesus said in John 6, verse 37, all that come to the Father by me will not be cast out. Nobody enters the fatherland except through Christ. He is, if you will, our personal visa. It is because of what He did at Calvary that you and I can enter the Father's land. Third, you cannot have any warrant for your arrest because of a crime you have committed. No country in this world will ever allow you to enter if there is a warrant for your arrest. So it is with God. This is why when we enter the fatherland, we go in with our confidence in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We believe with all of our hearts that when He died at Calvary, a great exchange took place. All of our crimes against God were given to Christ. And all of His righteousness, all of His goodness was given to us. A transfer took place when we came to faith in Christ. We received His righteousness. The Lord Jesus received our crimes. When you enter into the fatherland at the time of your death, you enter in because you've been born again by the Spirit of God. That's the love of God. Nobody's born again without God loving them. You enter in because you have a visa. That's faith in Christ. You enter in because your confidence is in the righteousness of Christ. Have you ever noticed that these three things are the great trilogy of the New Testament? Faith, hope, and love. Faith in Christ is our visa. Hope, that's the New Testament word confidence. Confidence in the righteousness of Christ means there's no warrant to arrest us. And the love of God is evident in our lives because we've been changed to have a desire for the land of our Father. For those of you who have experienced comforts in this life, more power to you. Thank God, for He's the one who's given you the ability to have wealth. But please, please remember, you have a chance to go back to what the world calls valuable. Don't do it. Be a person of faith, like the people of Hebrews 11. Lay those things aside and keep your eye on the land of the Father. Because that's where you're headed. And it's the only thing that will give you meaning, purpose, and significance in this life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you.